How it must break the heart of God to hear our prayers at times, especially the prayers that are lifted up in faith, without faith, not believing. Many people today want to question the miracles in which Jesus performs. The reason we do not see miracles today in life is because we don't ask properly. Not believing is one of the major problems. Not believing. We need to have faith, which is a confident expectation. Those who came to Jesus for healing expected a cure. That was the mark of their faith. Our prayers are often dreary because we expect nothing to happen. The public worship of God is often dull and poor because people enter the sanctuary expecting nothing. Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it done to you." When you come to church and pray for rain, do you ever carry an umbrella? That's faith, to carry the umbrella. Faith and faithful living and trusting God in all things. When you feel a sense of leading of the fellowship and the guidance of the Holy Spirit telling you to do something, go do it. Go do it. God is calling upon you, for we are all ministers of Christ to serve in this place, and hallowed though it may be. Faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For He comes to God. He who comes to God must believe that He is God and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith. Faith pleases God. Faith is what brings a total commitment to God. Faith calls upon us to give ourselves wholly and totally and completely, such as the prophets of old, such as the apostles of old. By faith, Abel's gift to God spoke even after Abel died. By faith, Enoch was translated by God. God took Enoch from the face of this earth and took him home to be with him eternally in the heavens. And he did not die. God took him before his death. Faith that causes man to trust is what causes man to trust in God. And the children of Israel went out into the midst of the sea on dry ground when they crossed the Red Sea. Moses led them across, and there was a wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left. They went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, the Bible tells us, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. They stepped out in faith. They stepped out in faith and walked where they couldn't see all the way, but they went. But they trusted God. They trusted Him completely and certainly. Stepping out where one cannot see safety but trust God. The test of faith is to obey God's orders no matter how strange. And God can give you some pretty strange orders and directions. I've lived long enough in this ministry in 53 years to see the hand of God at work. And it seems so strange at times. And God can reach forth his hand or he can draw it back. Either way, it's God. It's God. And God may be calling you and he may be calling me to further ministry that I know not of. We went to the Christmas show at the Alabama Theater the other night. I usually like to get in seats if I can, where there's room. We came in, took our seats. The people to the right of Ann filled up the seats. The people to the left of me filled the seats. But there was one man sitting beside of me, and I saw him coming, and I said, "That man will not fit in this seat." But he did. He wiggled down in it. And during the intermission, we began to talk and dialogue and fellowship for a few moments. And the Lord gave me a new message. Something he wanted me to do. When you part company from this man, don't say you enjoyed your talk. But tell him, "I'll see you in heaven." Just say it. Say it. Would you say it with me? "I'll see you in heaven. I'll see you in heaven." That is so easy a witness for us to make. I'm surprised that I didn't think of it before. I'm surely somebody has. So I said to him, as he began to stand up, "I'll see you in heaven, if not before." And so that's my testimony for people that I knew, people that I meet. Stepping out where one can see, cannot see, without safety as you see it. Trust in God. The test of faith is to obey God's orders, no matter how strange, such as Naaman. He was a leper. He'd sought cures and found none. And some of his servants said, "There's a prophet here. Let's go ask him." And the prophet sent the message back, "Go and dip in the River Jordan 7 times. And King Naaman was quite angry at that, because there are the rivers of Damascus, and there's Arbana and Pharpar, and he wondered why he couldn't go to some nice resort instead of to the Jordan. And one of his servants said, "If he had told you to do something great, would you not have been willing to do it?" That changed Naaman's mind somewhat. And so he went and he dipped in the, went down in the Jordan 7 times. And his skin became like that of a little child. Naaman exercised faith. And he reaped the rewards of the exercise of that faith. Naaman was upset because he was not asked to do something great. But when he did something smaller, but in God's timing and command, he was healed. He was healed. Jesus said, "Except you become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God." Faith pleases God. Faith brings us closer to God. And we exercise it. And faith that is exercised brings us closer to faith, to God. All of the prophets, all of the apostles, Elijah, Enoch, Simon Peter, Stephen, Paul, and the list goes on. Jesus said to the centurion that came and said it wanted Jesus to speak the word. Met him on the road. He wanted Jesus to speak the word so that his servant would be healed. And Jesus said, I will come right away. He said, I'm a centurion. I say to people, go, and they go, and come here, and they come there. He said, you speak the word. You speak the word. That's all we need, just your word to make my centurion, to make my servant well. And Jesus spoke the word in faith and trusted in him. Jesus said to the centurion, go now your way, and as you believed, so it will be. There was a woman who saw Jesus coming, and she had an internal bleeding problem, and had it for 12 years, I believe it was, without any let up. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, the hem of the robe of Jesus, I would be made well. And so she reached in amongst the crowd. I can get an image of this, and that she's down on her knees, and they're up an incline, and she's reaching out through the people that's all around her, and she reaches and she touches the hem of his robe, and he says, who touched me? Who touched me? His disciples said, there's a throng of crowd all around you, and you ask, who touched me? Everybody is touching you. She came before him trembling, not knowing what to do, but she trusted Jesus for his healing. And Jesus felt the power go from him to this woman to make her well. Matthew Henry, lay dying, said, you have heard many men's dying words, and these are mine. A life spent in communion with God is the most pleasant life in the world. Psychologists say for a man to be happy, he must know himself. But I say to you, to be happy, you must know Jesus. You must trust in Jesus and hang on to him. It is a walk of faith, but it's a walk that ends in heaven, if you will. Though the way be narrow, yet it is not long. And though the gate be straight, yet it opens into eternal life. Enoch walked with God through faith, and it pleased God. Others have walked with God by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Go home, take your Bible, and turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and read about the people whom God instilled faith within. You can never please God without faith. You can never please God without depending upon him. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that there is a God and that he will reveal himself to those who sincerely look for him. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. My friends, serve God. Serve God. Worship God. And we shall meet again, whether here or whether in eternity. Let us walk with him. I've seen people in this church come and give thanks to God Almighty. I remember one man in particular who came, and he came and stuck his hand out to me, and this was a man that I dearly admired. He taught me a lot. And he came to me and stuck his hand out, and he said, "I want to rededicate my life. I want to walk closer to Jesus." Some Sundays later, his 16-year-old son came and knelt down. I went over and asked, "Can I pray with you?" He said, in the vernacular of a 16-year-old, he said, "I just want to get it all together." He was graduating soon, going to NC State, planning to be an industrial artist. Industrial art was his interest. But shortly after he landed on the campus of NC State, some folks from Campus Crusade got a hold of him and changed his focus. I don't know that he's ever drawn anything for art's sake, but he's touched the lives of thousands of people through the years. I don't know what Larry's doing right now, but it started right there. It started right here. Started with godly parents as well, and grandparents and family. I too have a grandson who is full-time with Campus Crusade. They call it Crew now. I'm tongue-tied when I get to it. I want to call it Campus Crusade, right on. And anyway, but they're doing a great work. And my grandson and his mother and dad are here this morning. And I give thanks for the life he lives and the ministry that he has. I'm getting on in years. My family is growing rapidly. I had 2 children, and suddenly I had 4 grandchildren, and now I have 7 great-grandchildren. I'm old. I want you to pray for me this morning, because I'm old. But I'm going to keep serving as long and as best I can. And I want you to serve God. I want you to please God and be blessed by His love and by His grace. As we come to this place of dedication, I invite you to come before Christ. Spend time here at the altar. Others' lives have been touched here, and yours can be also. And yours can be blessed. Come. I believe our hymn is 251. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.